Hey, it's good to be back. For those of you who have been here for the past 2 weeks, you might be looking at me saying, who's that? Well, I'm one of the ministers here at Sagemont Church. I get to be the teaching pastor for this service, and I feel like I have to introduce myself again. I've been gone for 2 weeks on a mission trip, but it's good to be back. So I want to thank the pastor for preaching for me on the first week. And I also want to thank Cody, our student pastor, for preaching last Sunday. It was a joy to watch them online. But listen, so it's November, right? It's November, and if you had to guess what we would be talking about today in the month of November? Yes, Thanksgiving and being thankful. And listen, here's why I think it's always important to preach about being thankful in November, but also in January, February, March, and all the way through. Because if there's any people on the planet that has a reason to be thankful, it's us. Right? I mean, isn't it God's people? If of all the people on the planet, we are the ones that have the most reason to be thankful. So I'm going to ask you to open in your Bible this morning to Luke chapter 17. I don't have an introduction this morning. I just want to jump right into the scripture. If you grew up in the church, you may know the story about the 10 lepers. That's what we're studying this morning, the 10 lepers. If you're new to the things of church and you don't know much about the Bible, you probably have never heard of this story, and that's completely okay. If you're struggling to find Luke, it's in the New Testament. It's one of the first four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so we're going to be in Luke chapter 17. And if you need help finding Luke chapter 17, just bump your neighbor and say, hey, can you show me where it's at? Well, we're going to study a passage this morning because the Bible talks about living with thankfulness. The Bible talks about the importance of us having a thankful heart and approaching the Lord with thanksgiving. So there's a ton of scriptures all over the Bible that talks about this, and we're just looking at one this morning. But we're looking at this one because it tells a really interesting story. So we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 17. And we're going to start in verse 11. We're going to go all the way through verse 19. And here's what the scripture says. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. Now, you may not know what a leper is. It's somebody with a really nasty skin disease. I was going to bring a picture of somebody with leprosy and put it on the scripture, on the large screen. But I thought, well, you know, right before lunch, it probably wouldn't be good for your appetite. But anyway, just trust me when I tell you, it's really nasty disease, and it's a skin disease. So 10 of these people with a skin disease met up with Jesus as he was on the road between Samaria and Galilee. And so these 10 stood at a distance. And look in verse 13. It says, not only did they stand at a distance, but they lifted up their voice. Now stop right there. When's the last time you lifted up your voice to the Lord? When is the last time that you were so passionate about something that you lifted up your voice to the Lord? These 10 sick people with the skin disease, they were at their wits' end. And so they saw Jesus and they were standing at a distance. And so they lifted up their voice. Here's what they said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now we know how this story ends, but they didn't. So I want you to just stop right there. And I want you to think about what just happened. These 10 lepers are crying out, Lord, Master, have mercy on us. And the scripture doesn't say that Jesus snapped his fingers and they were healed. The scripture doesn't say that he healed. The scripture says that he called out to them, go show yourself to the priests. And so they, in faith, they turned around and they left. But look at the rest of verse 14. As they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way, because your faith has made you well. Lord, I just pray a very simple prayer this morning that as we consider the word of God, that you would do something in us. And of all the people here, Lord, we have various needs. The needs that we have and the spiritual journey that we're on is so different. And so in a room like this, there's all these different needs and there's all these different next steps in the kingdom of God. But Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would just do something with your word this morning, that your Holy Spirit would just shake us and shape us in a way that no human being can manufacture. And just by the simple power of your word, you would transform us. That's our prayer this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So right from the start, I'm going to tell you my goal. Here's my goal. My goal is to motivate and help us become consistently thankful. Because it's so easy, right, to be thankful sometimes. But I want for us to do away with this thought that Christians should be thankful sometimes. In other words, in November we should think about Thanksgiving. I believe that Christians should be consistently thankful over and throughout the year. And so my goal this morning is not just for us to help us be thankful, but to help us become consistently thankful. Now, if you have your note sheet, you see that there's a couple of things that we're going to do this morning. And one is to talk about what happens in our life when we adopt a consistently thankful lifestyle. That's what I want to do this morning and talk about that. As we look at this scripture, this one person who came back, what happens when we are like this person and we turn back and we come back and we say, you know what, Jesus, I don't have any request of you right now. I just came back to say thank you. What happens when that becomes really what our life looks like? I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking about getting ready for this message, and I had this thought. The shortest line to get to Jesus is the line to tell him thank you. You know how we all hate to stand in lines? And there's specific places that we just associate with long lines, and we just dread going there because we're going to be in a long line. And it's true in the scripture. Now, this isn't true for us, praise God, because the veil was torn and we have the Spirit. So there's no long line to get to Jesus this morning. Listen, if you need him, you are first in line this morning to get to Jesus. But I want you to just think about this thought. The shortest line to get to Jesus is the line to tell him thank you. You have the line to ask him for stuff. Maybe you need to be in this line. Maybe you're going through something and you need the Lord to just magnify his power in your life. This is a long line. The line to ask Jesus for stuff. Then you have the line to Jesus to return stuff, like Walmart. Well, Lord, you gave me that blessing, but I don't really want that anymore. Here, why don't you take that one back, right? Then you have the line to complain about stuff. Lord, why are you doing this to me? I'm so mad at you, God. And listen, if this is the line that you're in, own it. God is big enough. If you're angry at God, he's big enough to hear your emotions. But listen, in the scripture, the shortest line to Jesus is the line to come back and say thank you. Have you been in that line lately? Have you come back to say thank you to the Lord with no other need, just to say thank you, Jesus? What happens in our life when we adopt a consistently thankful lifestyle? Four things. First, God's work in our life becomes more visible. Now, I'm not saying that God works in your life more. I'm saying that his work, his current work in your life, you can see it better. Because if I go to bed every single night looking back at what I can be thankful for, you know what I start to see? Stuff. I start to see what God is doing in my life. When I start looking for things to say, God, I just want to come back. I don't have any requests. I just want to say you rocked my world today. You did something amazing in my life today. And when we adopt this consistently thankful viewpoint, I'm not saying that God works more in our life. I'm just saying that we can see it more. I remember one time being so mad at my dad. And I made the mistake of looking at him dead in his eyeballs and telling him, you don't do anything for me. Yeah. Now, my dad is like level-headed and cool. And so with eye contact, still locked in, he just starts talking. He starts listing the things that he had done for me. And I start feeling smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And then he started listing things that I know anything about. You see, he started out by talking about things that I knew. I put a roof over your head, food to eat, car to drive. I knew all of that. I was like, you're just trying to make me feel guilty. And so I had that, like that wall. And then he started listing things that I didn't know anything about. And that big tough teenager got pretty weepy pretty quick, because I wasn't looking for them. What if that's the way it is with the Lord? Like, what if we would just stop and just come back to him and say, I just want to thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. Does it mean he's going to do more things in our life? No, not necessarily. Because we don't give our thanks to God in order to manipulate him to give us more things. We give our thanks to God because we have a grateful heart and we just can't believe that God would be so good to us. And so what happens when we adopt a consistently thankful viewpoint? Well, first, God's work in our life becomes more visible. Second, God's grace and God's mercy becomes more enjoyable. When we're living with this consistently grateful lifestyle, this consistently thankful viewpoint, it's not that his grace and mercy is any more, just like it doesn't mean that he's doing more things for us. It just simply means that we're at this place where we can enjoy it. We can enjoy more God's grace and mercy because we're watching his hand in our life. A third thing that happens when we adopt a consistently thankful viewpoint is that our faith begins to grow every single day. I believe that every day that you lay your head on the pillow and before you close your eyes and sleep, you just talk to the Lord about the things that you're thankful for, that he's done for you. I believe that that grows your faith. And if you're here today and you're a Christian, if you're somebody who's decided to follow Jesus, but your faith is not growing, and maybe you're here today looking for that key that's going to unlock the door for spiritual growth, here's a key for you. Go to bed at night telling God what you're thankful for, because your faith will start to grow. The fourth reason, or the fourth thing that happens when we adopt a consistently thankful viewpoint, is that our time with Christ grows sweeter. Our time with the Lord grows sweeter. And I don't really know how to articulate this. I've thought about how I'm going to explain this point a lot, but I really don't know how to do it. Here's what I can do. I can tell you that this human being that's nameless, we don't even get his name, but this human being who came back to say thank you to Jesus had a sweeter time in the presence of the Lord than Adam and Eve did when God came and visited the garden and to discover that they had been sinful and rebellious. That's all I can say. If you're looking for this sweet and beautiful time with Christ, adopt a posture of being thankful. Now, those are four things that happen to us when we decide to pattern our life like this one who came back. So in the scripture, look in verse 15, it says, then one of them, only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God. He came back and fell at his face before Jesus' feet, and he gave him thanks. Here's what I'm saying. If you will make that your life's practice, these four things will begin to be true about you. But what about the nine? Because the nine are in the story as well. And I don't want to spend our whole time this morning talking about the one without thinking about the nine. Here's my question for the nine. Like, why didn't you come back? Why didn't the nine come back and say, thank you, Lord? Now, obviously, the scripture doesn't say, so I could get up here and give you all the different reasons. Well, that's what I'm going to do. But I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of ignorant of their culture. I don't know all of the specific reasons that maybe the nine didn't come back. So here's what I've done. I've thought about our culture. And I've thought, if this were to happen today, in Houston, Texas, in the year 2018, and 10 people need Jesus and they lift up their voice to Christ and he heals all 10 and only one come back. What if we asked, why did these nine not come back? Here's what I want to do. I want to share with you some reasons that I think nine of them wouldn't have come back. Because they were excited and they forgot. In fact, that happens a lot in Scripture. Somebody needs the Lord. They need Jesus to do something for them. And so they find him. They throw themselves at his feet. Oh Lord, would you do this? Would you do that? They're in that line, right? To ask Jesus for something. And he does it. Praise God, he does it, right? He does what they're asking him to do. And the scripture says that they go away praising God. They don't come back and say thanks. In their excitement, they forgot to come back and say thank you. Maybe that's one. Another reason. Because with their new life in front of them, they're all of a sudden too busy for Jesus. You see, when these guys were lepers, they didn't have anything to do. Nobody wanted to hang out with a bunch of lepers. They looked nasty. Everybody thought that they were contagious. They couldn't find a group of friends. That's why 10 of them were together, because they're the only friends that they could find. But now that they've been healed, now that Christ has given them a new life, man, they're just too busy. They got all these things they got to go do. They got this calendar. They've got this speaking engagement. How about they used to be leprous and now they're not? And they've got these new friends and they've got a new job because they can get a job now that they don't have leprosy. And their calendar is just getting filled up. And just think about how many people does God just radically transform their life and then they get so busy with their new life that they don't come back and say, Lord, you're the reason I even have this life. I just want to say thanks. So maybe in excitement they forget. Maybe with so many more options before them, they get too busy. Well, you know, Jesus is a busy guy. Here's number three. Jesus is a busy guy. And I just didn't want to bother him or take any more of his time. You know, we try to spiritualize things sometimes, don't we? Well, Jesus, he's so busy. I just don't want to bother him. You know, he's done so much for me, and I just don't want to take anybody else's time that they need with Jesus. Maybe that's one option. Or here's the fourth option. We spiritualize it. I mean, truly, if you look at the scripture, these nine people, they're doing what Jesus told them to do. Did you notice that in the scripture? Look with me back in the scripture, if you would. And it says in verse 13 is where they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, he doesn't say, come back and tell me thanks. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. So sometimes we might spiritualize this and say, well, God didn't require me to come back and say thanks. But I want you to just think about the nine. And I want you to think about these reasons that they might not come back. And then I just want to ask you this question. Do any of these get close to you? I just want to illuminate some reasons that might hold us back from living this consistently thankful life. And I want to just kind of illuminate them and let you say, yeah, that's the one. I just get so busy. Or that's the one. I get so excited that I forget. Or that's the one. I just think that God is too busy for me to come back to him. And I want to ask you to guard yourself against these excuses. That's what they are, excuses. Guard yourself against these excuses of being grateful and consistently thankful. So we've talked about what happens when we consistently adopt a thankful lifestyle. We've talked a little bit about the things that might have kept the nine people from coming back to the Lord and saying, thank you, Jesus. No other agenda. I just want to lay at your feet and say, thank you. Nobody else could do this. The doctors couldn't help me. Nobody could help me. You helped me, Jesus. And so I just want to lay here in front of your feet and say thank you and just praise God. But maybe some of you are here. You're thinking to yourself, why would I thank God with the problems that he has allowed me to have in my life? Now, I'm not Baptist, so I'm not going to bet. But if I were, I would bet that there's a dozen or so people here today who feel a little anger inside of them that I'm talking about being thankful and you're going through the problems that you're going through. And maybe not verbatim, but maybe in a similar way you're thinking, I'm not thankful at all. How can God let me go through the struggles that I'm going through right now? And maybe they're financial. Maybe they're relational. Maybe they're internal and emotional or mental. And maybe you're thinking today, what do I have to be thankful for? Even as a child of God, my life is so wrecked. My life is so broken. My life is so questionable and foggy. I don't know what my future holds. And so what I wanted to do was to spend some time and really develop some thoughts on everything, no matter where you're at in life, that you can be thankful for as a follower of Christ. Because I'm here telling you, live a life of consistent thankfulness before the Lord. And you're replying back to me, perhaps, you don't understand what I'm going through. You are so right. I don't. But what I can do is open the word for you and say, look, even in your suffering, and even in your struggling, and even in your difficulty, and even in your problems, these four things are still true. And I do not want to diminish the problems that you have. But what I want to do is to elevate what Christ has already done for you. Now the reality, this is for Christians. If you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, as awkward as this sounds, I have to tell you that these are not for you. They can be if you would surrender your life to Christ. But these are uniquely four things that every Christian can be thankful for every day. The first is that you are genuinely and uniquely made on purpose and for a purpose. God made you on purpose and for a purpose. And I want to share with you the scripture out of Genesis. It's the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26. Here's what it says. This will prove to us that God makes us on purpose and with a purpose. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God intentionally and on purpose created human beings. That means your life is not a random accident. And I want you to know that. You're not accidentally here on planet Earth. You're here because you were made on purpose. Verse 26, Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over the livestock and the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So you were made on purpose with the purpose. God said, I'm going to create human beings and I'm going to do this intentionally and I'm going to make them the overseers of planet Earth. They are going to be over the rest of my creation. Here's what that means. You can be thankful because you've been made with purpose, for a purpose. Another reason that you can be thankful is that Christ took sacrificial action to bring peace between you and your Creator. Now, some of you this morning need to receive that sacrificial action. Some of you this morning need to move from intellectually knowing that it happened to personally receiving that sacrificial action. But let me read to you Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Here's what the scripture says. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But listen to this. But God demonstrates his love for us. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received reconciliation. What's that saying? Here's what it's saying. It's saying that salvation was God's plan. And while we were sinners and enemies with God, he unfolded this holy, magnificent, mind-blowing plan to reconcile us back to God. Listen, on your worst day, you can still thank God for that. You can go through your hardest days, and at the end of the day, when you put your head on your pillow, you can say, thank you, God, that I am made on purpose for a purpose, and thank you, God, that you are the one who made the sacrifice to make peace between me and yourself. The third thing that we can be thankful for is that the Lord instituted a process by which our lives might be transformed. This is found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. It says that the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So I want you to stop right there and I want you to realize what we're saying that as Christians we can be thankful for. Here's what the scripture's saying. You were created on purpose with a purpose. And when you were separated from God, he made a way for you to be reconciled to him. And when you were reconciled to him, he didn't just leave you there. He picked you up and started sanctifying you. And he gave you everything that you need to say no to ungodliness and to begin to walk with him and to begin to walk for him and for the Lord to start transforming your life. And the fourth thing is this, the Lord offers his gift of abiding presence to you, no matter what circumstance you're in. And again, I don't know what problem you're facing. I don't know what struggle you're having. But we can say thanks be to God that in the midst of my storm, the presence of God abides. There's a scripture in Psalm 139. It says, where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? The answer is nowhere. If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. There's no place that a person who belongs to God can go that his presence isn't there with you. If you see there Acts chapter 7, if you're making notes, just write down Acts chapter 7. It's the story of one of the first Christian martyrs. And he's preaching this amazing sermon. And it's so powerful that the wicked get so angry that they take him out to the outskirts of town to stone him. And the scripture says that while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And when he fell on his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold the sins against them." And one of the most amazing parts of this story is when he says, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Even in Stephen's moment of death, the abiding presence of the Lord was with him. Maybe you're here today and you needed a reminder of what you want to be thankful for. Here they are. You're uniquely made on purpose and with purpose. Christ made a way for you to have peace with your Creator. The Lord instituted a process to make you holy, and his abiding presence is available to you no matter the season or circumstance. One of my goals this morning was to give you a chance, not just to hear, to be consistently thankful, but to give you a time and a place to be consistently thankful. So we're actually going to sing one last song before we close today. We're going to open the altar for you to come down, but before we do that, I want to make you aware, because once the service is over, I know you're not hanging around to listen to this. I know you're ready to go. Here's what we have down at the altar. It's a little booklet. There's 30 pages. This is our 30 days of Thanksgiving challenge. If you need a heart adjustment, if you're a follower of Christ and you've got bitterness in your heart and you say, "Man, I need to be that one that will just come back and say, thank you, Lord," here's a practical way for you to do it. Just take one of these home with you. And every day before you go to sleep, on page one, just write one thing that you're thankful for. And on day two, write one thing that you're thankful for. And we want to give these away, so we've put hundreds of them out here. And you're welcome to come and pick one up. Now, even if you don't come to the altar, as we sing the song at the end of the service, come on down and grab one before you go. Let me ask you to stand to your feet. I'm going to just pray briefly, and then we're going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and just come back to the Lord and just come and say thank you. Come kneel at these altars and say thank you for what you've done in my life, and then we'll close the service after this song. Lord Jesus, we want to be the one. We want to be the one that consistently comes back to you and says, "Lord, thank you for your work in my life. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for sanctification. Thank you that you give me purpose. Thank you for everything you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord." May we be a thankful people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.